Rams are back where they belong, where it all began in 1946. The last 20 years have been a bad dream. Now, it's time for the Ramble On Podcast. Here are your hosts, Steve Mason and Ryan Abraham.
Hello and welcome to the Ramble On Podcast. I'm your co-host, Ryan Abraham, along with Steve Mason. Steve, what's going on, man? This is our first ever Los Angeles Rams podcast. How you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm a little nervous, my first Ramble On Podcast, but I think you and I should be able to get through this just fine.
I think we should. And just so people know, started covering the now Los Angeles Rams with Scout.com. I've been covering USC for many, many years now. Now we're going to move into the NFL and cover the Rams. So our website is laramsreport.com. We'll be covering the Rams, and we got a special guest today. We're going to get to in a second. And, Steve, maybe kind of give a quick introduction of what you do now.
Yeah. Well, I'm the co-host of the Mason and Ireland show on 710 ESPN. And I've been doing that show for, 13 years at ESPN. And I've been working with Ireland for about 18 years. I actually grew up a Rams fan in Toledo, Ohio. My family, as weird as that sounds, we had all in the late 70s picked a team that was relevant. My dad was a Cowboys fan. My mom was a Steelers fan. My brother was a Raiders fan, and I was a Rams fan. And of course, at that time, the Rams were in the playoffs basically every year. I ended up with a team that only went to the Super Bowl once in that era, but I remember that year really, really well, 79 and Vince Ferragamo.
Wow, that's great stuff. I didn't even realize that, Steve. This is a good choice for the co-host here. I think this is going to work out well because it's the Los Angeles Rams, obviously coming back to LA. There was a groundswell movement to make this happen, Steve. And we wanted to bring in Tom Bateman. So he's the founder of Bring Back the Los Angeles Rams. You can follow him there on, Facebook, Bring Back the Los Angeles Rams. The website is losangelesrams.org. That's a great one. I don't know when you got that one. But Tom Bateman's joining the show. Tom, thank you so much for coming in studio and talking about the LA Rams.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ryan. And thanks a lot, Steve. I don't know if you remember, Steve, but a few years ago, remember when Farmers Field was just announced and AEG was doing a presentation out in Mar Vista? And there were a few Ram fans there, and I remember talking to you at that. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember because I probably told you then that I was a Rams fan, and they were always the team that I was hoping would come back. And I've been following you. I mean, you played an enormous role in this, Tom. I mean, you social media, Facebook, Twitter, you've been all over this from the beginning. Talk about your relationship with the Rams. I know it started when you were young too.
Well, yeah. I mean, going back, my first vivid memory was watching the divisional playoffs in 1979. And, you know, here was this, you know, the beleaguered, you know, just beaten down Los Angeles Rams going against the defending NFC champ. You know, everyone thought, you know, Dallas Cowboys, America's team. And, you know, I think being a local, you know, boy growing up, I think it, you know, it took the Rams for granted. And, you know, you're watching the game and I'm thinking, you know, man, the Rams are, you know, they're going to get killed, but here they go. They're just scrappy as hell. They're, you know, fighting like mad, and they are beating the Cowboys. And I just remember it was like the touchdown to Billy Waddy, and it just was like the knife in the heart of the Cowboys. And it was like, you know, you just like slaying the dragon. And I just remember that was the moment that I just, you know, fell in love with the Rams, you know, that, and it was like, hey man, this is my team. And it's been that way, you know, ever since.
We're with Tom Bateman, so founder of Bring Back the Los Angeles Rams, which I guess you can change the name right now. It's not Bring Back the Rams anymore.
Right. Well, a lot of people have asked us about that. So it's, but You know, I kind of look at it as like, well, the Rams actually technically, you know, aren't back until that first game.
Okay.
That first game gets in the record books, that first regular season game. You know, I think, you know, maybe we'll buy ourselves a little time, but we've had that name for, you know, 6 years, a little over 6 years now. And, you know, the group was founded on Facebook, actually by Andy Hogan, who was a student up at Cal at the time.
Okay.
And I joined up the first day, and how I kind of got involved in it, you know, more directly was that, you know, I signed up on Twitter and got the Los Angeles Rams handle.
Okay.
And, so I contacted Andy, who obviously had the facebook.com/Los Angeles Rams name. And I thought, you know, hey, we got to work together. I thought what Andy had done was fantastic. And, you know, and finding out, you know, he was up in Berkeley, so he wasn't really, you know, logistically positioned to, you know, be down here. And, you know, it just so happened, me being down here, it just worked out that, you know, being the person on kind of the boots on the ground. And, you know, we start off with the, you know, small little, you know, a few hundred people on Facebook. And I remember when we first hit 1,000, we thought, oh man, we are going now. And, you know, to see, you know, where we've come, you know, we just crossed 63,000.
Wow.
This week.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, I was reading about you were actually overseas and serving the military when the Rams actually picked up and left for St. Louis, 20 years ago. Talk about your feelings at that time.
I, you know, at that time, you know, obviously I was, you know, focused on my military career. And, but I remember reading about it or, you know, and seeing news about it. And it just struck me as bizarre, like that it was surreal. Like, is this really happening? Are they really thinking of leaving? And I thought they can't possibly really leave. And then, just watching it, it was like you're watching it from afar and you're seeing something in the distance happening, but you're not really a part of it. And, you know, a lot of that had to do with being young and focused on other things, but I just didn't think that it could actually truly happen. And then, you know, my brother was, you know, living locally, and he's the one who kept telling me, you know, like this, you know, speaking with, you know, some great alarm about it and, you know, seeing it happen. And then it actually happening, you're just kind of just this like months long period of just disbelief. Like there's no way they can do it. There's no way they're going to do it. And then they finally do it and you're faced with this reality that your team no longer exists.
It's hard to believe 21 years ago, no Los Angeles team. I'd moved to Los Angeles in 89 and I was a student at USC. So the Rams and the Raiders were both here. And then, you know, within a few years, they're both gone, and you just kind of get used to the fact that there's no NFL team here. But now that there's a team coming back, I'm seeing people coming out of the woodwork that weren't even really big NFL fans. They seem to all be jumping on the Rams bandwagon. I don't know if you've seen a surge in memberships and all that stuff with your Facebook page and Twitter and stuff.
Oh, we saw a huge surge. I don't remember the exact number, but I think we were at like 58,000. The night that it was announced. And so we've had, you know, almost 5,000 since then. And, you know, knowing from that first day when it was announced, getting an inkling that this is getting bigger than what we had done. You know, we've had big crowds before. We've had a lot of people who follow us, but I remember, at Hollywood Park that night, it was announced that the Rams were moving back. And I just remember seeing a whole lot of people showing up, and these were people I didn't recognize, that these were people who, you know, all of a sudden they're showing up in Rams jerseys, Rams hats, and, you know, high-fiving me, and I'm trying to place the names and the faces. And I mean, I'm seeing a ton of people that I know from all the years that we've been doing this, but seeing all the new people, it made me think, wow, you know, we've really, you know, this is going to be much bigger than I even thought. And I thought it was going to be huge.
Yeah, with all the talk about the Carson project and of course the Inglewood project, which ultimately is the project that will happen. Were you nervous when the Inglewood project was out there and floating around, and there was talk of the Chargers and the Raiders?
I think there was a lot of anxiety. I think a lot of it was frustration because you're thinking, are they really seriously talking about that toxic waste dump? And
I play golf over there sometimes.
Yeah. And are they really, you know, are the Chargers really going to abandon 55 years of history in San Diego? And are the Raiders, you know, going to jerk around their fans in Oakland? And it's like, one, I just thought it was an unholy marriage of the Chargers and the Raiders moving together, and which I felt was going to destroy the fabric of the NFL. Because they were talking, oh, well, we could simply realign, which is like, you know, are you kidding? The Raiders and the Chargers have been part of the Western Division, you know, going back to the AFL. You know, we're talking about they've been together, joined at the hip, as part of the AFL West since 1960. And for them to, like, oh, well, we're going to go, and then we're just not going to do it. We're just going to, you know, realign. And, you know, I kind of got offended about that. And then just the idea that Carson was going to jump in when all the hard work had been done in Inglewood, you know, by Mayor Butts, the Stan Kroenke, and, you know, Stockbridge Capital. You know, this is a real plan, and Carson, like, kind of jumps in, and I thought that there was a lot of people pushing the Carson plan. Oh, it's a legitimate plan. Oh, it's favored, and I think I just kept thinking, that can't possibly be true. People cannot seriously be thinking that this is going to happen. But, you know, it was a popular thing to be talked about in the media. Certainly some people thought you were thinking, you know, hearing Carson has 20 votes. Oh, it's a lock. And yeah, I would definitely admit there was some anxiety, but all along I had real confidence that the Inglewood was the better project, but, you know, what were the owners going to decide? That was definitely a big question mark going into that day for me, for sure.
That was an absolutely crazy day because there was the committee where five of the six owners recommended, the LA committee recommended the Carson project. And so I'm getting all these tweets like, looks like the Rams are coming. You're like, no, you still know the Inglewood one's better. When you've heard that there was five of the six, committee members voted for the Carson project over Inglewood.
Oh boy. I think at that moment I was about ready to take a hostage.
Serious. Okay.
I thought I was, well, I, you had been hearing the rumblings for weeks that, oh, the LA Opportunities Committee was favoring Carson, and looking at the makeup of that group, you know, Jerry Richardson, Bob Kraft, Bob McNair, Clark Hunt, Dan Rooney, and Art Rooney, and John Mara. And I, you know, was looking, it's like, well, if I go back to 1995, most of these guys voted against the Rams' move, so I kind of always felt confident on that. But then you hear Jerry Richardson is totally pushing Carson to the point that he's like going up to owners, like visiting owners, saying you got to vote for Carson, and then so the 5-1 kind of little surprised me. I thought it would be more like 3-2 or something, or it would be a split vote, but 5-1, I thought, what is going on? And I was like, hey, you know, we're ready to fight for this thing. You know, I hope that Stan moves regardless. I don't care what the LA group was saying, because I thought they can't, you know, going back to it, they can't possibly think that Carson is the better project. Maybe they're trying to protect their buddy Dean Spanos, but they can't possibly say that the Carson project is better. And I was definitely feeling a bit militant at that point. Like, hey, you know what? Let's go to the mattresses. You know, I'm ready. You know, I've been in this thing for 6 years fighting for the Rams to come back, and, you know, I'm like, whatever I can do, you know, to help, you know, because I felt that, the popular support was certainly with the Rams coming back. And because I just didn't, you know, yes, there's a Raider fan base here at LA, but, you know, you get a lot of controversial reactions to that. I knew that there was no Charger fan base here in LA of any to speak of. and for them to make a decision about, you know, what I felt was going to define the future of the NFL, and to not allow the Rams to move back, I thought was just an abhorrent decision that was looming for sure.
That's my puppy dog.
Hey, puppy dog.
Who is also a Rams fan.
Obviously.
A very big Rams fan. Well, you know, one of the things that the good news I thought last week was the fact that, you know, the Rams or the Chargers are not coming. The Chargers are not moving here this year. You know, it kind of gives the Rams a clean space to be first and to get established and to make sure the attendance is great and the fans and media are behind them. I thought that was really good news that Dean Spanos, although he got approval to move here, and they reached an agreement with Stan Kroenke in the new stadium, that they're going to stay put for now.
That was a very pleasant surprise. I was at the press conference in Inglewood at the forum when the Rams announced, you know, when the Rams actually made their public appearance. And, the Rams executive vice president goes up and says, wouldn't it be great to have an AFC team here? And all the Ram fans there were booing. And, you know, because we were feeling very, very partial. You know, we're feeling very like, hey, you know, this is our team, our city. And no, we're not interested at all in another team coming. And, you know, with all due respect to Stan Kroenke and the Rams organization. But we also understand the needs of the other NFL teams. And in this case, specifically the Chargers, you know, they do need a new stadium. We just don't want them to move to LA. We've actually had a really great relationship with the Save Our Bolts group down in San Diego. You know, a whole lot of talking shop, a whole lot of sharing information. And so we always really supported them. So when, Dean Spahn, I always kind of knew that, well, they would have to make some kind of an arrangement with the Rams. So I was expecting that, and I was hoping that Dean would use that to take another look. An honest look at San Diego and realize that that is truly their home. And if they can make one more true, honest effort to get a stadium done, then that's what they need to do. I was hoping he wasn't going to bypass a great opportunity. Now that he has the security of knowing that he has a place to land, should things not go well in San Diego. But I'm confident that there will be public support down there for it. I think the NFL clearly wants the Chargers to remain in San Diego because they, you know, that's a place that's hosted 3 Super Bowls. And again, they've been part of the community for 55 years. To uproot them, even if it's just up to LA, would be a catastrophic change to the organization. And I think the NFL clearly wants the Raiders to remain in Oakland.
I think it's best for every, I like the way it's set up now. If the Rams come to Los Angeles, the Chargers stay in San Diego, and Oakland remains in Oakland. Oakland just seems like they're just kind of going along for the ride, hoping somebody, like, they're trying to get a ride from a big brother somewhere, you know, at a bus stop or something. But the Chargers, they definitely need something new down there. That stadium is an absolute dump. I've been in the press box the last couple of years covering the Holiday Bowl when USC.
Yeah, we were both there for the Holiday Bowl. Oh, that is just
awful.
Mm-hmm.
They need something down there. I mean, obviously Oakland does too, but it's just bad down there.
Yeah. And we recognize that. And I think it's really, it's going to turn out great because, you know, Stan Kroenke has proposed, you know, essentially NFL Disneyland in Inglewood, but he was the catalyst for all of this movement, with the stadiums in San Diego and also in Oakland, that there's movement in all three of those cities regarding new stadiums. You know, that's the definite talk of both in San Diego and in Oakland, that there needs to be a new stadium for the Raiders. There needs to be a new stadium for the Chargers. And obviously Stan is going to deliver the NFL's Shangri-La in Inglewood. But what if by using that to help create an opportunity for a great stadium down in San Diego and successfully create a great stadium up in Oakland, the NFL would look at Stan Kroenke and say, this man was the catalyst for three stadiums, not just one. Wow. I think that would be an amazing, monument to what Stan has been able to do, will be able to do for the NFL. And if he can play that role, I think he's happy to, and we would love to see it, for the great fans in Oakland and the great fans in San Diego. Because, you know, that's the NFL I grew up on. When, you know, there was the 49ers in San Francisco, the Raiders in Oakland, the Chargers in San Diego, and the Rams in LA. That is the NFL that I remember. That, you know, to me, it's like, you know, that 1970s NFL, that's the way it was supposed to be. And that's, you know, what I want to see now created again.
Now, have you gotten a chance to look at the team? Now that we've got the team, we can start to look at it, and it's kind of cool to start thinking about football. Les Snead, a really great young general manager. Jeff Fisher returns home to the Coliseum. Actually, that's something we should talk about. Of course, Ryan and I both cover USC, so we got an opportunity to go to the Coliseum all the time for USC games. My feeling about the Coliseum is that it is a tremendous venue. USC is getting ready to put about $270 million into upgrading it. But in the meantime, I think it is a fantastic place to watch a football game.
Being a USC fan, you know, myself, I love going to games at the Coliseum. But I had a great appreciation also for the Rose Bowl. And I had heard from more than a number of people that the Rose Bowl was the favorite if there was going to be, you know, a team coming back, especially like even the Rams, that the Rose Bowl, just because of the luxury boxes, the amenities, that it would be more suited to do that. And this was something that I had been hearing all the way up to the last few months. But being a USC fan and also being a football traditionalist and, you know, really appreciating the Rams' history in Los Angeles, just having them in the Coliseum to me would just be the perfect return, you know, to walk back through, you know, run through the tunnel again, like they haven't done that since 1979. And I mean, I grew up in Anaheim and I grew up with the Rams in Anaheim and I loved them there. I love the fact that they were so close by, but I truly appreciate that when they made the move to Anaheim, they lost a big part of their Los Angeles identity. And, you know, when I see film of the Rams playing in the Coliseum, seeing the, you know, just And experiencing, you know, the capacity crowds at USC games. And I'm just thinking, what if the Rams could come back, this Coliseum would just be rocking. And now for that to actually be the reality that's going to happen, come August, September, it's just going to be the most amazing thing to see them come out of the Coliseum. And even Jeff Fisher talked about that and, you know, being a Trojan, you know, he knows, and the players might not know. I mean, TJ McDonald knows for sure, but the rest of those players, I don't think they have a clue as to what awaits them, when they come out running out of that tunnel at the Coliseum, because it is going to be amazing.
It's a really historic building. I actually did a piece for, LARamsReport.com, where I took a tour. And I've been in there a zillion times, but they do tours now because it's a national landmark and a state landmark, and you can go through, I think it's like $25, and you get a guided tour for about 90 minutes. So if you're a Rams fan and you want to check it out, they're going to adopt the tour, I think, more as the Rams stuff comes in. But there's a lot of crazy facts about the Coliseum. All the different presidents have spoken there, like Nelson Mandela and Pope John Paul II and all kinds of crazy stuff there. But it's the only building in the world that's hosted two Olympic games, two Super Bowls, a World Series. I mean, the Dodgers used to play there, USC, UCLA, the Rams, Raiders. all kinds of other sports. I mean, there's so much that has gone on in the Los Angeles Coliseum. It's really neat. It's just another aspect to bring the Rams back and have them play for 3 years. You definitely need a new stadium. You want a state-of-the-art thing, and this $2 billion thing in Inglewood's going to be just amazing. But I love the fact that you're going to at least get 3 years of the Rams back in the Coliseum.
Yeah, and that's just something, it's something you envision in your head, and to know that it's going to happen, you know, it just builds some great anticipation. You know, I'm excited for the Rams, period, just as a football team. But for the fact that they're going to play in one of the most historic stadiums in the world, it's just that icing on the cake. And I think it's going to make the return that much more emotional, that much more significant. And again, I can't wait for the players to actually experience that. And it's going to be something, you know, that I know I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
You know, one of the cool things too, with the new stadium in Inglewood and the Coliseum, you know, undergoing renovations, you know, it's really possible. LA and Paris are probably the two finalists for the 2024 Olympics. In addition to a Super Bowl at the new stadium, you know, it's very possible that the brand new stadium in Inglewood and the Coliseum will be part of yet another Olympic Games, maybe as soon as 2024. And I can't think of a better place, $2 billion stadium, for an opening and closing ceremonies than right there in Inglewood.
They're building that stadium. I mean, I think when they made the presentations, and from what I've heard, the presentations they made in November and December just really, you know, upped the ante, that this was going to be the premier venue of the NFL. And, you know, that's a tough act to follow. I mean, we're talking, you know, Jerry's World down in Dallas, MetLife Stadium, all of these slate of new stadiums. It's like each one has been, you know, built to outdo the last one. And I think, with Los Angeles, you know, you can't just, you know, sneak your way back into Los Angeles. It's like, you got to come in big, you know, because we expect big things in Los Angeles, and that you're going to come in, you're going to make a splash. And boy, did they ever, that kind of the video presentation of, you know, the fly through, you're looking at that like, wow, this is going to be an iconic venue that's going to be seen by thousands of planes every day that, you know, are going to see an iconic landmark that's going to be dominate the Southland. And I think it's going to be that venue, you know, which would be a fantastic thing for Los Angeles's, Olympic aspirations. You know, it is an amazing thing.
Did you get to work with the city of Inglewood at all? Because I know, I mean, obviously it's a big part of it when the Inglewood lost the Lakers and it was the city of champions and all that. You know, it's not been great. I have a really close friend who acts to be, he actually is a cop in Inglewood, and he was telling me that it's going to be amazing for the economy, that everyone's going, it's crazy in Inglewood right now. They're so excited. And I've read some columns before. Well, oh, if an NFL team moves to your city, it doesn't really make that big of a difference, which I didn't really buy. And everyone I've talked to in Inglewood seems really excited about it. So it seems like it makes a difference for them. I don't know if you've worked with them or talked with them, and what do they think about the move?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the first thing you heard, and this is going back a few years, you know, because, you know, we're following the whole stadium developments. We're following all the developments with the Rams, what's going on in St. Louis. And, you know, they had a lease arbitration process. And I remember after the arbitration was finished, and then like 6 months later, St. Louis said, we are not going to implement the arbitrator's decision, which was to build a new stadium virtually a new stadium for the Rams in St. Louis. And I kept wondering, well, what's going to happen now? And very quiet over there out of the Rams. And then all of a sudden, just before Super Bowl 48, Stan Kroenke announces he's bought 60 acres there in Inglewood at Hollywood Park. And I already knew that there was a Hollywood Park, project going on, but that what they would refer to as the 60 acres was called the Walmart lot. This was the lot that there was going to be a Walmart Supercenter built a few years back that didn't happen for a lot of reasons. And so we were talking with the people who are building, and I'm kind of saying, well, what about, are you thinking of possibly doing something? And they were kind of like non-committal. But then once it announced Dan was going to buy it, and then and it was really about a year later, I'm tucking myself into bed, and all of us, and then I said, well, I'm going to check my phone one more time. And blip, there's the little alert, and it said, Stan Kroenke is going to build a stadium in Hollywood Park, and he's merging with the Hollywood Park Land Company to create this 300-acre project. And I just literally jumped out of bed and said, I got to get online and post this up. And it was it was like, oh, here it goes. You know, here we go. It's on, and it's really going to happen. And we literally showed up that day. They were having a press conference on the lot, and it was literally only press invited. So me and about four other fans show up, and we have our Ram gear. I have the helmets, and we're behind the fence, and we're like, you know what? We're hoisting our helmets above the fence line. So we knew that the reporters were seeing us. Cause then the photographers start coming over, and I said, you know, the gentleman at, you know, with Hollywood Park Land Company were really great, because they were talking about the project and this, but of course they're being very, very non-committal about the team, but we all knew, you know, that's Stan Kroenke. He owns the land, and he's obviously building this for the Rams. And we were just there to plant our flag and say, hey, the Rams are moving here. And that's all that concerned us. And Joe Ramirez, who was with SoCal Rams Booster Club, was there with the, you know, he has those classic, he's the silver fox, and he's got the classic, ram horns, nice. On a hard hat. And he's, you know, his picture's been everywhere, but, you know, he was there, and a couple other guys, Sky and, Daniel, were there. And it was, you know, we just wanted to show people, you know, right from the get-go, a stadium is going up in Inglewood, and we, the fans, we want the Rams to play in it. And I think that the Hollywood Park people were very appreciative of our popular support. And, you know, that's really all we could do. I mean, obviously, we weren't involved with the plans. Stan, they obviously have the plans, and we were confident they knew what they were doing on that. We just wanted to show the popular support for that, just as kind of what we had shown for Farmers Field earlier in the process. But now that it was actually going to happen with Stan Kroenke, because now you had an owner of an NFL team, and it just so happened to be that he was the owner of our beloved Rams. Now he was going to build a stadium, and from there we were like, well, we have to show our popular support, the popular support that greeted the project, and it's turned out great. We've had a great relationship with City of Inglewood. You know, we've shown up at town halls, events, carrying the message.
Hey, Tom, I want to ask you a legit football question, because it is the Ramble On podcast.
Football, yeah.
We won't have much to wait for until we start getting really down into it. But the quarterback situation is pretty much up for grabs right now. Mm-hmm. Les Snead came out. Of course, they handed the job to Nick Foles during last offseason. And he says everybody will get an opportunity to compete for the job this year. Foles will be back. Case Keenum, who finished on a really strong stretch, went 3-1 in four games down the stretch. Even Sean Mannion from Oregon State, he says, will get an opportunity to compete for the job in his second year. And there may even be another quarterback in the draft. How do you feel about the Rams quarterback situation as we get towards the starter next year?
Well, I think that, you know, that's something that's caused, you know, great concern for us as Ram fans. That, that's like the one thing that we have the question mark on, that, you know, and that was the one thing we'd hoped the acquisition of Nick Foles was going to solve that. I was hoping he was going to return to that form that he, you know, he set some records in Philadelphia, and I was ecstatic when they acquired him. And, you know, for the first few games, it seemed, oh, hey, you know, it seems like the right decision has been made. I mean, but, you know, he had a really rough season, and I don't know if that's all his fault, but you know, when you're brought on board to deliver, you know, you're expected to deliver, you know, and it wasn't getting done. Now at that point, you know, they fired the offensive coordinator, and they promoted Rob Boris, who, you know, again, we almost came, you know, we came within an eyelash of being, you know, ending the season 5-0. And it was really something that, I was really hoping that was gonna, it would have turned out better, but now we still have the question mark. Case Keenum did a serviceable job, and I'm really glad that, you know, he played well, but it's not gonna be, you know, for this team to get to the next level, we are gonna need that man under center. And I think that's always bedeviled the Rams, you know, throughout its history, you know, but once the Rams settle on a quarterback, whether, you know, it was Roman Gabriel in the 60s or it was Jim Everett in the 80s, you know, until that quarterback situation is settled, the Rams are going to be a really good team, but they're not going to, you know, cross that threshold. And, you know, I'm excited that there's going to be an open competition. Right now, I don't have any favorite on there. I would like to see more of Sean Mannion. I thought he did well in the very brief, time that he had, but, you know, it's like, I haven't seen enough of him, you know, and hand him the car keys. And, you know, is there someone in the draft? You know, I think the Rams are definitely looking at all options there. And you know,
you mentioned the Rams quarterback situation, you know, because I was a Rams fan in the 70s, it was an incredible carousel.
Yeah.
Georgia Frontieri was the owner back then. And it looked as though she was just bringing in guys that she could date.
Wow. Yeah.
Dan Pastorini came in, and then Burt Jones came in, and we had, who else? We had, of course, Joe Namath came in. I think he played two games, and then that was it. He got hurt, and his career ended.
Yeah.
The great savior was Dieter Brock from the CFL, and that didn't work out. We had Pat Hayden, who actually had a really good season in 1979, but he got hurt, and it was, of all people, Vince Ferragamo, a quarterback from Nebraska who hardly ever threw the football, who wound up being the guy who got the Rams to the Super Bowl that year, and of course took a halftime lead into the locker room against the Steelers in that season, and just couldn't quite close the deal.
I mean, yeah, and going back, you know, you had John Hadle, you had Ron Jaworski, James Harris, and, you know,
This was all in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
That's a lot of quarterbacks.
and the Rams, you know, won the NFC West every year. And it was just, oh, if we could just find, you know, figure out that quarterback riddle. And yeah, there were flashes. I mean, you know, Pat Hayden of the Pro Bowl. James Harris did great, but then it's like, they do great, and then something would happen. Either they'd get injured, and, you know, it just was, you know, it was maddening. And, you know, just looking at that, you know, it makes me think, well, you know, hey, you know, the situation's maybe not as bad here, but, you know, because the Rams have been through this before. But, boy, you know, when they finally click with the quarterback, you know, I just remember when Jim Everett came on in the late 80s, he just, you know, the Rams were just slinging it downfield. And then, you know, and of course everyone, you know, the great story of Kurt Warner, you know.
See, I don't even consider that to be an era that I will follow or talk about. The St. Louis era just never existed for me.
Yeah.
The greatest show on turf just never even happened.
That's all.
Yeah.
You want to maybe, Tom, talk about the defensive side a little bit, because there's some stars for sure. It's a young, hard hitting defense for some of the new LA Rams fans that don't really know about this defense. Maybe talk about that a little.
Well, I think you know, that right there, you know, we've got a front four that, you know, is as good as anyone out there, you know, and I see a lot of shades of the fearsome foursome there, you know, maybe a new fearsome foursome. And Robert Quinn, you know, was hurt this year, but, you know, he'd been a Pro Bowler the past few years. Aaron Donald might just be the most dominant defensive lineman in the game today. And then you've got, you know, Alec Ogletree, who got hurt, but he was just tearing it up out there before he got hurt. If we can have him healthy the whole year, that would be amazing. And then James Laurinaitis has been solid in the center. I think we've got some younger guys up there. Akeem Ayers, local guy from, you know, Vermandois and UCLA.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's going to be there too. And then we got a secondary. I mean, if we can re-sign him, if we can re-sign both cornerbacks, you know, Janoris Jenkins and Tremaine Johnson, and you got E.J. Gaines coming back. You've got T.J. McDonald, who has just been an absolute stalwart there at safety. I think the Rams can have, you know, that defense that wins championships. And, you know, if they can shore that up in the draft, I just really hope that we can lock these guys and prevent them from going to another team, because it's like we've spent so much time developing these guys. I would hate to see another team benefit from all the, you know, the coaching, all the hard work, because we have a defense that is lights out. A defense that can really shut down the best teams. You know, we beat Seattle twice. And I think we're supposed to play Carolina next year. I can't wait for and that means Carolina here at the Coliseum. I can't wait to see our defense take on Cam Newton. So those are things. I mean, the defense, obviously a huge bright spot. I think right now it's like, if we can figure out offense, I mean, we got the rookie of the year at running back in Todd Gurley. But boy, if we can get, some offensive consistency in the passing game, you know, hopefully maybe get a game breaking receiver out of the draft. And then, of course, figuring out that quarterback, riddle. If we can do that, this team will seriously contend.
You know, the one guy you mentioned, Aaron Donald, a lot of people have compared him to J.J. Watt. And I've seen some people, you mentioned most dominating player in the league. I've seen some really big NFL people, analysts, say he may be the best player in the National Football League. And young, I mean, this is a young guy. And, you know, he's a guy we're going to hear a lot about. I'm trying to get him on Mason in Ireland this week. Both he and actually general manager Les Snead, but Donald is just a monster out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're thinking, you know, what a gift, because, you know, we hadn't really, you know, when I heard him drafted, I was, you know, he hadn't heard his name in, you know, being spoken of, like, you know, hey, this is the next big guy. But, you know, obviously, you know, Coach Fisher and Les Snead, you know, I think they really did their homework and they zeroed in on this guy. And I remember them talking about him, like, you know, that they were really looking for this guy to be, you know, that, you know, fit right in at defensive tackle. You know, we already at that point had a good defensive line, but he is in the backfield every play, and he is just one guy who just can blow things up. And, you know, I'm just, you know, pleased that he's going to spend the majority of his career out here. And I hope that, you know, he ends up in the Hall of Fame, you know, as that Los Angeles Ram. And, you know, he's just inheriting, you know, that great legacy, you know, Rosie Grier, Merlin Olsen, at defensive tackle. It's, you know, we're beyond excited to have such young, amazing talent that is, I mean, he was a Pro Bowl captain this year in his second year in the NFL. You know, we're just looking at that guy like, you know, this is how you build your franchise. This is how you get people excited, because, you know, LA, hey, we like stars. We like superstars on teams. We don't, you know, it's not enough to just have good teams. You have to have stars. You know, guys who are, you know, I imagine like the billboards, you know, you got Clayton Kershaw or Kobe Bryant or, you know, Mike Trout. And, you know, you need to have, you know, the Rams, like, where are they going to fit in on there? You know, you got Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald right there. And you've got a bunch of other players on the Rams who are going to fit in perfectly in the Southern California sports landscape.
Tom Bateman is joining the Ramble On podcast. He's, I guess you could say, the co-founder. Is that, was that more accurate of the Bring Back the Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah, I actually use the term director.
Director, okay, sorry.
Because, you know, I mean, Andy was the guy who actually founded the page.
Okay.
But, you know, he and I have worked, you know, great, you know, ever since. You know, he is actually down in Orange County right now. And, you know, he's from Cal, so, you know, he's been just a real supportive of it, even if this is USC. So,
right. No, that's fine. Yeah.
So USC town, I always tell him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
LosAngelesRams.org. You can follow him on Twitter, Twitter/LosAngelesRams. So yes. That was yours. So you're the founder of that.
Yes.
And then Facebook.com/LosAngelesRams. Mm-hmm. So 6 years working hard to bring back the Rams. And now they're back.
Yeah, give it up for Tom.
You know what? It hits me in little ways every day. I remember going after the press conference and hearing it was on one of the sports stations, and they said, you know, oh, the Rams are gonna, you know, keep the Los Angeles Rams are gonna keep Rob Boris as their permanent offensive coordinator. What do you think that's gonna do for next year? And I just thought, hey, they're just talking about the Rams just like they're any other LA team. That is awesome. and it's little things like that every day that just make me believe, hey, the Rams are back, and are going to be back in the biggest way. We haven't even seen yet. I mean, the Rams right now are really busy because they got to close things out back in the Midwest. And the players, they actually can't even do anything with the players until like April, like when they first start doing OTA. So, you know, there's a few months in which, you know, maybe we're going to have to get on the street corners and preach the gospel and try to, you know, get as many converts, because the bandwagon's wide open. And I hope that every Dodger fan, every Angel fan, Clipper, Laker, Kings, Ducks, USC, and UCLA fans, like, I hope they all join on board, because this is going to be one town, one team in the NFL. And that's our job. In the next few months.
You know, 53,000 people put in deposits for, I assume you did too, Tom.
I actually did it twice, because I wanted to make sure that I got one, because I was like, I got it. I logged in and I was like, I just need to be sure that I, in case something happens with the first one. So I got two deposits in. But yeah, there'll be 16 tickets purchased. That's for sure. I just, you know, hope that, I hope they pick the far sideline where USC lines up.
Okay.
Because that would make it perfect. So.
Well, Steve, should we wrap this up, you think?
Yeah. I think we're good for a first time.
Yeah, not too bad. Our Ramble On. Maybe before we go, you could tell the story. How did we get this name Ramble On? I think that was your thing, Steve.
Yeah, it was actually a listener. You know, we were talking about, you and I were talking about doing it, and a listener tweeted how about the Ramble On podcast? And we had a lot of mediocre names that had been suggested, but Ramble On, and especially, you know, the great Led Zeppelin song kind of sealed the deal. It's perfect. It's not obvious. And, I think it embodies sort of the fight that we're expecting to see from this team.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to doing more of these. So we'll get it up on iTunes. If you go to our website, Los Angeles, LARamsReport.com. We also got RamsRambleOn.com. So we're going to set that up for the podcast and everything. And Steve, I thought it'd be perfect. I thought Tom would be a perfect first guest, because someone that's worked for 6 years to bring the LA Rams back. There's so much history there, all the work that had to go into it. We're really glad that he could come on. So thanks for coming on, Tom.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ryan. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Yep, you bet. And of course, we'll tweet out links on my Twitter account @VeniceMace. And Ryan, well, what are you going to do for a Twitter account? Yours is branded USC.
I'm @InsideTroy, but we also have it's LA_RamsReport. So I set that up too. So we got that going on there, but we'll make one for the Rams Ramble On. We'll set all that stuff up. So we'll get the iTunes. So people, whenever we start a new podcast, they're like, hey, are you on iTunes? Are you on Stitcher? We'll get up on all those things, but it's going to take us a couple weeks, but we wanted to get the show going, because there's so much excitement right now, Steve, about the Rams.
Absolutely. And Tom, congratulations, man. You were a huge part of this.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Well, that's Tom Bateman, the director of Bring Back the Los Angeles Rams. For Steve Mason, this is Ryan Abraham. Thanks for so much tuning in for the first Ramble On podcast.